With an excellent graduate student, Alex Dallin, I've been thinking a lot recently about metastable states in the early universe, the very early universe, back in the era of eternal inflation and the landscape and before. And we've been thinking about a number of sort of general questions and general morals you can try and draw about tunneling in the very early universe. And the questions we've been thinking about fall into three general categories. Only the last of one I'm really going to talk about today, but I'll tell you very briefly about the first two. So, just in case you want to talk to me about it afterwards. So the first kind of question you can ask is what's the fastest decay in these landscapes? What's the most likely decay from a generic state? And contrary to the conventional wisdom, what we've been finding is that the very fastest decay is often to tunnel a very long way, to make a giant leap, rather than a small step. Indeed, the fastest decay in flux compactifications is often to tunnel all the way that you can, to drop all the flux you can, and as I will describe, make a bubble of nothing. Another kind of question you can ask is, can you get everywhere? And this has implications for whether the eternal inflation can really aspire to be independent of initial conditions. If the answer to this question is no, then it can't. And what we've been finding is that despite claimed counterexamples, the answer to this question is, in fact, yes, always for all landscapes. But the question I'm going to talk about today is this third question. Can you make a universe from nothing? Can you start off with nothing and make something? Let me be a bit more precise. By nothing, I don't mean empty space-time. I don't mean fields and no matter. I mean literally nothing. No space, no time. And by something, I mean an open universe. And you might think that this question isn't really in the realm of physics, or at least you would accept that you're a conference for holographic cosmology. But actually, there have been two attempts to make this precise, two broad attempts, one of which is associated with the name Belenkin, and that I won't really be talking about today. The one I'm going to talk about today is the one associated with the names Hawking-Turok. And Hawking and Turok wrote down in Zenton a tunneling solution that they said explicitly interpolates from nothing to an open universe. So the first thing I'm going to try and convince you of today is that this is, in fact, a well-posed question that you can think about. And the second thing I'm going to try and convince you of today is that the answer to this question is no. There was a question over here. Okay. was your question, can you make a universe from nothing? Okay. So before I do that, in fact, the kernel of this argument is going to hinge on trying to understand more precisely what exactly we mean by nothing. And before I get onto that, I want to remind you of two things that should either be familiar to you or at least uncontentious about tunneling not involving nothing, about standard Coleman-Deluge tunneling. As told to us initially by Coleman. So if you've got a field that's got a potential like this, you've got a minimum up here, and the field everywhere in Minkowski space starts out homogeneously in the A vacuum, then classically it's stuck, but quantum mechanically it can tunnel out. It can tunnel through the barrier. The way it does that is not by homogeneously everywhere throughout space tunneling through the barrier. That requires an infinite coordinated motion and be infinitely suppressed. Instead, it happens by bubble nucleation. You nucleate a critical size bubble of B in a background that's still asymptotically A. That's a quantum process. That's a semi-classical process. And then classically, once you've done that, the bubble can then expand and complete the phase transition, converting all of A to B. So you describe that process by an instanton that lives on R4. So it lives in Euclidean space. You Euclideanize Minkowski space, and the instanton lives on that space. And you should think of this as tunneling from a field configuration that at tor equals minus infinity is all A to a field configuration that at tor equals zero goes through the center of the bubble and is the center of the instanton and is a bubble of B. And the rate for this process, as told to us by Coleman, is given in the leading semi classical order by e to the minus the Euclidean action of the instanton. And then you need to add back on the Euclidean action you first thought of. Add back on the Euclidean action of A. And since these two, well, both of these are individually infinite, but since they, since the instanton and the pure A vacuum are asymptotically the same, they have a finite difference, and this rate is finite. The same is true if you turn gravity on, except now, because you start off in a de Sitter A vacuum, the instanton is now compact. Rather than R4, it compactifies to S4, topological S4. And the rate is given by exactly the same formula. These two are now both finite. They're both compact instantons, so they both have compact action, which means that you have a non-zero rate. So now fact number one about tunneling, which is that the same instanton that governs tunneling from A to B also governs tunneling from B to A. Now, in flat space, you couldn't have tunneled from B to A, but in in the Sitter space, you can. And the reason you can sort of see here, is that after tunneling, if you start off in B, homogeneously in B, you only need to get a horizon volume in A, and then it'll classically live forever. So you can up-tunnel, and you can sort of see that over here in that you have more than a horizon, more than a hemisphere, more than the horizon volume of A. So even though the B it's being eaten up by the B bubble, it continues to expand forever. And so, in fact, the same instanton governs tunneling in one direction and the other. In fact, I've drawn the instanton. It's here. And the rate formula is almost exactly the same. The only difference to the rate formula, it's still the same instanton with the same Euclidean action. The only difference is that if you're tunneling from B to A, you need to subtract the B Euclidean action, not the A Euclidean action. Okay, so let's, as I said, they're both finite, all the actions involved, since everything's compact, you can tunnel from B to A. Now let's lower B and see whether that's still true. Well, it's still true there, because B is still de Sitter, and it's still true there, but now it's no longer true. When the B vacuum becomes Minkowski, it is impossible to up-tunnel from Minkowski to de Sitter. And the way that's reflected in terms of the Coleman-Deluca formula is that this expression for the de Sitter Euclidean action blows up as the potential V goes to zero. It becomes minus infinity when BB hit zero, and you're trying to up-tunnel from Minkowski. And it remains zero as you continue to lower B down into ADS. Okay, that's fact number two, in fact. So fact number two is that up-tunneling is possible from de Sitter space, but impossible from Minkowski space and anti-de Sitter space. And it kind of makes sense that it's impossible from anti-de Sitter space, because you could imagine broadly two strategies to try and up-tunnel. One would be to up-tunnel homogeneously, but that you cannot do, because that requires taking an infinite Minkowski volume and homogeneously moving it over the barrier, so it's infinitely suppressed. In fact, it's forbidden. You could also imagine trying to make a sort of bubble of A inside B, inside Minkowski space, that big enough that it'll internally inflate and live forever. That also won't work. Not just because there's no instanton, but in fact it's impossible to write down any configuration that has a bubble of A that will live forever, a bubble of A that will live forever because of its de Sitter expansion. It's impossible to put such a bubble inside an asymptotic Minkowski space. And you can think of that sort of as just, consistent with the nullity condition, that's impossible. And you can think of that as just the time reverse of Penrose's standard singularity theorem, that an infalling normal surface would become anti-trapped if you tried to do that. Okay, so those are the two things I want you to have at the back of your mind when we come to discussing nothing. And let's start with this first moral. The first moral, the same instanton governs tunneling from A to B and from B to A. So if we're interested in tunneling from nothing to something, let's first of all think in a somewhat more controlled fashion about tunneling from something to nothing. And that is described by a bubble of nothing solution, first written down by Witten many years ago. And this takes place, the arena it takes place in is 3 plus 1 plus 1 dimensional unstabilized Minkowski space. So you have an extra dimension, and we're going to compactify that extra dimension. So here's the metric of a spatial slice through this space-time. You have the big directions that I'm imagining live in the horizontal directions, and you have an extra compactified direction described by phi. But if you go up here, you come back along here. I imagine this compactified on an S1. I'm identifying this plane and that plane. And what Witten showed is that this space is unstable. There's no positive energy conjecture in the theorem in this space. It is unstable to decay to nothing. And that is the metric of a spatial slice through the instanton that describes this. You start off with an extra dimension that's uniform everywhere, and then it decays to nothing. It pinches off at a finite distance out. The size of the extra dimension goes to zero size. And so from the four-dimensional point of view, from the 3+1-dimensional point of view, it just looks like you formed a bubble of nothing, a bubble that if you throw anything at it, it'll just bounce back. And then this bubble, in the same way as a normal convolutional bubble would, just grows out and consumes space-time. That's right. So as at the moment, I put nothing on this, but correct. And so there's nothing living in the middle there. So for this is a good instanton to look at, but actually it doesn't really reveal very much about.
Static. How does it swallow the space? That's like
right. I just
very naive question.
Okay. Yeah. So I just drawn the metric of the spatial slice through here. Actually, the metric is not static. It's going to have O4 symmetry, and then when we continue that, it's going to have O3-1 symmetry, and it's just going to expand out just exactly the same symmetries as a normal convolutional bubble on a hyperboloid asymptoting to the light cone.
That's the metric at the critical, at the symmetry point.
That's right. That's right, yes.
Does that part which corresponds to nothing corresponds to R lower than 1?
That's correct.
How does it expand? Like in this metric,
right, I'm sorry.
I understand that this is a spatial section, but how,
yes.
Like, okay, anyway.
So actually what happens if you, I didn't write it down because I was trying to make it simpler, but what actually happens is the instanton, that becomes a d over 3, and then you just, in the standard manner, Euclidean continue one of the times of that omega 3, and then it expands out in a hyperbole. It's got O3-1 symmetry in here. Right, so this unfortunately isn't yielding much insight into what exactly we mean by nothing. And the reason is that it's just a sort of singular solution that sits there all on its own. What I want to do is I want to stabilize, perturbatively stabilize these extra dimensions. But they will still be non-perturbatively unstable. Perturbatively stabilize these extra dimensions, and then look for bubble of nothing solutions. And while I'm doing that, I'll have the advantage that I'll then be able to consider bubbles of nothing, not just in Minkowski space, but in de Sitter space and anti-Sitter space. And so I'm going to do that by, I'm going to perturbatively stabilize the extra dimensions, and I'm going to do that by the sort of simplest possible way. So I'm talking about something specific. I'm going to write down the very simplest possible way to stabilize the extra dimensions. I hope you will agree with me at the end that it's actually independent of the precise way I chose to write down to stabilize the extra dimensions. And so I'm going to do that with three ingredients. I'm going to imagine there's two extra dimensions, like six-dimensional space, two extra dimensions. I'm going to compactify them on two spheres, attach a two sphere to every point in space, and I'm going to stabilize it by grow the extra dimensions because the flux lines repel, wrapping flux around all the extra dimensions, and I'm going to balance that sort of repulsive force against a contracting force from the curvature, which is trying to pull them in, and I'm going to uplift everything with a bulk cosmological constant. If you like equation for you, I'm doing 60 Einstein Maxwell theory. I just got these three terms, and I can write everything in Einstein frame, integrate out the extra dimensions, and I end up with a potential that's got a repulsive flux term trying to grow the extra dimensions and an attractive curvature term trying to shrink them. So here we are. This is the effect of four-dimensional potential as a function of the size of the extra dimension. And if I combine those two, I stabilize the extra dimension. I stabilize the size of the extra dimension. And if I add a bulk term, I can uplift that to Minkowski or de Sitter. more flux I add, therefore, adding more flux has two effects. Adding more flux pushes the stable size of the extra dimension to larger size. It makes the stable size of the extra dimension larger. And it also raises the four-dimensional cosmological constant of the extra of this minimum. Okay, so I end up with a landscape of characterized by the amount of flux I'm wrapping around those extra dimensions. And the transitions I'm going to ask about, now these extra dimensions are stabilized, and the transitions I'm going to ask about are transitions that change the amount of flux wrapped around these extra dimensions. And here's how these transitions proceed. They proceed, you've got in the 3 plus 1 dimensional space, you have flux wrapped around your extra dimensions, and you're going to nucleate a bubble. You're going to nucleate a sphere of charged brain, and that charged brain is going to unwrap flux on the interior of the brain. So everything's going to be asymptotically as it was before outside the brain. Inside the brain, you're going to unwrap flux. And then that brain and the whole bubble is going to grow out. Okay. Standard Comedusha story, except now with a brain. So let's draw a picture of what it looks like when you do this. You start off with n units of flux wrapping your whole extra dimension, and then you nucleate a bubble of magnetically charged brain. And so inside, you've got less flux, less force trying to make this extra dimension large, and it gets smaller. And then it grows out afterwards. But of course, the more flux, the more charged brains you nucleate, the more flux you drop on the inside, the smaller the extra dimension gets on the inside. And it gets smaller and smaller the more charged brains you choose to nucleate. Until you drop every single unit of flux. If you drop absolutely every bit of flux, the extra dimension is no longer stabilized against collapse, and it shrinks to zero size. In fact, what you have is a bubble of nothing.
Just to be pedantic, a zero-size dimension is not the same as nothing.
Yeah.
So, for example, the string theory, what happens is a winding loop condenses, and that's what.
Okay. Well. Off,
but it's not as simple as saying the dimension shrunk.
Good. I think that's. Hold that thought. So there you go. You've got something that looks like a bubble of nothing in both theories. So as I said, in the limit that all the flux is discharged, the extra dimension does indeed shrink to zero size, and you do have a bubble of nothing. But you might wonder in what sense this limit that you're taking is a smooth limit. What about the volume, for example, of a 3-slice? I take a spatial slice through this. Do I just have like an infinitely thin pancake? Do I have a size of the extra dimension that's zero size? An infinitely thin pancake? And the answer to that question is no. And here's the reason. Inside the bubble, as you drop more and more flux, not only is the size of the extra dimension getting smaller and smaller, but the curvature scale, the potential, four-dimensional effective potential inside the bubble, is getting more and more negative. In other words, you're getting deeper and deeper into ADS space. And it's a fact about negatively curved spaces that they have less volume than you would expect for their surface area, less area, less circumference in the case of a circle. In other words, as you drop more and more flux, not only does the size of the extra dimension shrink to zero, the size of the extra dimension, the 6-dimensional volume, go to zero inside these bubbles, also a 3-dimensional slice through the center of the bubble has less and less volume. It's becoming more and more negatively curved. Its volume ends up going like its area times the curvature length, and the curvature length is going to zero.
So there's a Casimir energy on this circle. Do you take that into account?
I'm not taking that into account in this.
That would affect the one loop action at the instant time.
Sorry?
So it becomes huge in this limit of small size.
That's right. So if I precisely as you take this limit, everything's going to go awry, because I'm arguing that the curvature length is going to zero, so the curvature length is going to come less than the Planck length. So if anything about my eventual argument relies on just the final moments as you take a limit, then you shouldn't trust it.
Okay.
I'll come back to this at the end, and I hope it won't.
But on your previous slide, you were drawing the geometry that had nothing in the middle.
That's right.
So I guess the question could be whether that particular geometry has a is regular or singular.
Oh, that particular geometry is perfectly singular.
Sorry,
perfectly regular. it's certainly regular in 4D, 6D, 4D, yeah.
So then, the principle that should not be a problem.
The limit itself, the bubble of nothing, is perfectly smooth. The question is whether as you take that limit, it's a smooth limit or not. But there's certainly no singular curvatures. There's no even large curvatures. Everything just like a normal bubble of nothing, the curvature stays perfectly small compared to the Planck scale. Okay, so that's really point number three, I think, is that in the bubble of nothing, you should think of nothing as being anti-Cassita space. In fact, you should think of nothing as being anti-Cassita space in a particular limit, namely the limit as the curvature scale goes to zero. And so now if you combine it with the other two principles I tried to convince you of before, then we're pretty much done. We can ask of flux tunneling. Before I was imagining tunneling from some large amount of flux to a smaller amount of flux inside the bubble. But you can ask the opposite question. Can you tunnel from a smaller amount of flux to a larger amount of flux? The same instanton.
I'm sorry, can you say again where the ABS is coming from? What ingredients you have in your potential?
The two crucial ingredients. I also have the bulk cosmic constant, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The two crucial ingredients are the curvature of the two-sphere and the flux.
Okay.
I have a two-sphere.
Okay, so you can ask as much about nothing without the two-sphere, so the nothing is logically separate from there being this ABS, I think. But go ahead. The reason you're getting this negative CC region is because of your two-sphere.
That's right. I'm using the two. I think that pretty much whatever you try and use to stabilize the extra dimension is going to have the feature that it needs to be attractive, and it's going to go to negative infinity if the size of the extra dimension goes to zero size.
I think these are logically distinct.
Okay, I'm going to finish the argument and then I'm going to take questions. So the argument goes like this. I was imagining tunneling in that direction. Now I can ask about tunneling in that direction. The same instanton is going to describe that process, and indeed it's going to be possible to up-tunnel in this case, where the interior and the exterior are both Cassita. As I imagine, if I ask that question of more and more charged brains, so the interior is lower and lower, it remains true that you can up-tunnel when the interior is still Cassita. But once the interior becomes Minkowski space, it is impossible to up-tunnel. And it remains impossible to up-tunnel as I lower and lower, consider more and more charged brains inside. And it remains impossible to up-tunnel from nothing. So in the language of Coleman and Lucia, we argued that it was impossible to up-tunnel from B to A when B is Minkowski or ADS. Because even though there exists an instanton, there's a perfectly well-defined solution that's an instanton that describes this process, the process is still impossible since the Euclidean action difference is infinite. And so I guess in this language, you just want to say that the Euclidean action of nothing is minus infinity rather than nothing. And so up-tunneling is impossible from nothing. And then just one final slide to say that I've argued that the bubble of nothing, it's impossible to up-tunnel using a bubble of nothing instanton. It is also impossible to up-tunnel using a Hawking-Turok instanton, because really these two are just the same thing. If you take the smooth bubble of nothing solution in 6D coordinates and project it down to 4D Einstein frame, it looks singular. In fact, it looks like it's got an integrable singularity, exactly as the Hawking-Turok instanton does, as told to us by Garriga. Basically, what happens is you project down, and then you get a caustic of the projection, and it looks like you've got a singularity. So, for that reason, I think you cannot start with nothing and make something in the manner of Hawking-Turok. Now, questions?
Could you go back two slides? So when you say that the action of nothing is minus infinity, that contradicts what I would immediately guess, which is that the action of nothing is nothing. And it relied on this very special way of taking the limit of ADS space. And you might worry, well, I worry that it depends very carefully on how you take that limit. Because the action of ADS space is minus infinity, but as you take the ADS radius to zero, you know, you might worry that the action of ADS space would go to zero in some sense, because the size of the ADS space as measured by any curvature scale is going to zero. And so it really depends on how you're cutting off the ADS space when you say the size of ADS is minus infinity. It's not really minus infinity. Really, the statement might be something like the size is measured by some very large cutoff, goes like the cutoff measured in units of L to some power. And so I'm yeah, worried that as you take L goes to zero, something
there's always a finite renormalized. Well, depending on whether the dimension is even or odd, there's always a finite renormalized action.
Okay. Good.
Right. I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
So it's counterterm depending whether the dimension is even or odd.
Right.
It's counterterm dependent.
One could phrase it. Yeah. Right. Okay. Good. You could phrase it in the language of the boundary CFD. No, but the point is we're looking at ADS and hyperbolic FRW coordinates, where you don't really want to use ADS CFT because that would give you. That's the coordinate system that doesn't extend out to the boundary, so one has to be very careful.
I think the question would be, I'm worried about
this order of limits.
You might worry sort of, even though the volume is getting, in some sense, so let's regularize it like this. Let's fix the area.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a finite bounding surface, and then look at what happens as V goes to minus infinity, the action inside.
Yeah.
Now, actually, as you take that process, you've got two competing things. One thing is that it's emptying out. You're getting less and less volume inside, and that's the thing that you're worried about that's going to drive it to zero.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens is V is going to minus infinity, and so it's actually getting sort of more and more negative. And you might wonder about which of those two wins, and it's easy to calculate, and the one that wins is the one that sends it to minus infinity. So that if you regularize it by taking, say, a finite bounding surface, even then, the action really does go to minus infinity.
You're saying that nothing is the region, part of ADS space outside of the volume, outside of some cutoff volume where I'm going to put my bubble, then taking the ADS radius to zero. I mean, I think that's what you're saying. Like, the reason why you can't tunnel from ADS up is that you have to paste on an infinite region of ADS, the infinite part of ADS space outside.
That's right.
That bubble. Like, you have to match.
Oh, so your concern is that I really am considering a finite region of ADS space.
Well, my concern is that it's not entirely clear what nothing is.
So I disagree. I mean, you could also say, well, you can always tunnel from sort of Minkowski space up, because looking at this instance on, you only have a finite portion of Minkowski space.
No, but if you actually look at the tunneling that would describe you from Minkowski up, you know, you have to paste on an infinite part.
That's right. So I think you've got to consider an unbounded.
It's that infinite piece.
That's right. The fair question is what, with an unbounded region of Minkowski or an unbounded region of ADS, can you up-tunnel? I think if you took Minkowski in a box, you could up-tunnel, and I'd agree with that.
Absolutely. And I think so is nothing in a box? I guess that's the question.
I mean,
Simeon just proposed a version of nothing in a box, which is somehow this finite action piece that remains when you take the ADS curvature radius. Yeah, so I don't want to harp on this. I guess I'm worried, but I'm a very nervous person.
Yeah,
in the De Sitter case, you can think about the tunneling and the inverse tunneling thermodynamically. It's just detailed balance and differences of entropy.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, is there a way to think about it entropically?
Well, I think there is, I think with Minkowski space, it's got...
Well, that's the limit of infinite entropy, but from the anti-De Sitter space, maybe.
One might say that anti-De Sitter space has, in some sense, infinite entropy.
I don't know, does it?
It's got an entropy that scales like its area, and its area is infinite. So, it's got, in that sense, the detailed balance argument still works.
Yeah, in some other way, maybe this is the same question, in some other way, empty antithesis of space has no entropy. But
yeah, it, I mean, certainly the standard result is that off-tunneling from antithesis of space is impossible.
On these kind of grounds, and I believe that, but I just wondered if you see a way to think about it thermodynamically.
I mean, it would be surprising if you could up-tunnel, you couldn't up-tunnel from Minkowski, but you could tunnel from Minkowski down to some lower ADS and then up-tunnel up to the sitter. That would be a surprising bridge that would say that Minkowski back you're on necessarily.
We could ask a slightly different question, because there was, in the up-tunneling from ADS or from Minkowski space, there's this sort of classical result of Guattari, classical in the sense of H-foot. That I'm looking at the evolution of smooth classical initial data. Is there an analogous argument one could make in this case? I guess I don't know what smooth initial data
in antithesis space.
Knowing nothing.
So I mean, my argument is sort of based around trying to argue from antithesis space, and just argue that this is a limit.
I mean,
so I guess you make the same.
There's a similar Guattari argument in antithesis.
Yeah, I mean, in antithesis space as well, you can argue that it's impossible to just.
So I'm wondering if there's a similar statement about smooth initial data that I don't have to understand what an instanton is and what the action of. What the act. You know, I don't have to think about these subtractions. I mean, because this is an argument all about the infinite subtraction, right? So if there was a different argument. Okay. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
You said that you are going to talk about only Turok.
Right.
Hawking version, but it seems that what you say, if I take it naively, has implications for tunneling to the sitter space as well. If we say that the action for nothing is infinite, then should I conclude that the tunneling probability is zero in that case as well?
Well, I'm not really sure what to say about that case. It feels almost as in your formalism as if the nothing that you're describing isn't the limit of anti de Sitter spaces v goes to minus infinity, but it's the limit of de Sitter spaces v goes to plus infinity. So certainly I'd say that Coleman-Lucia is never going to have anything to say about that possibility. Because in Coleman-Lucia, it's absolutely guaranteed that that it's going to be easier to tunnel to lower B than to higher B. Whereas in the tunneling wave function work, as you know, it's easier to tunnel to higher B than to lower B, and that's just absolutely impossible in Coleman-Lucia. So I'm not really sure that this is... I'm not sure that you're ever going to be able to take that and put it in the sort of standard tunneling frame... standard tunneling forms of Coleman-Lucia, like it tends to do here.
You know, if you look at the formulas, that it really doesn't have anything to do with B going to plus infinity, because you trust the formalism precisely in the limit where B is small compared to Planck, so curvature is everywhere rho, so you never touch the region of very large potentials. I don't think, if indeed we have to think of nothing as a region of some huge curvature, then we shouldn't trust anything in the semi-classical approach.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, that is definitely, this comes back to what Eva was saying earlier. I mean, it does look like the curvature length is going to zero in this nothing, which is kind of suggesting that nothing is, in some sense, a non-semi-classical concept. And for that reason, I would be concerned about this argument if it only said that tunneling became possible from nothing. This argument says that tunneling becomes impossible long before you reach, you're trying to,
right.
Tunneling
is impossible
long before you reach
nothing. From very high energy and ADS.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so you had this series of solutions as you dropped more and more flux. I think what you were saying is that if I try to follow that all the way to nothing, so the nothing solution has low curvature.
That's right.
But if I try to follow that, I'm going to have to go through a region of high curvature.
That's right. If you try and construct that limit, you're going to have solutions that have just tiny amount of flux with tiny extra dimensions inside the bubble. And the six-dimensional curvature is going to stay small, but the six-dimensional curvature is going to be composed of a...
You mean the Ricci scalar is small, but if I think of curvatures in general, there are large positive curvatures.
I mean the... Yeah, exactly. I mean the six-dimensional Ricci scalar is going to stay small. In fact, it's just going to be given by the whole cosmological constant, because that's the only energy
left. It's like 3 months squared, presumably.
But the... even that's going to stay... all of those are going to stay small. But it's going to be composed of a two-dimensional bit that's going to be very positive, corresponding to the very small sphere, and a four-dimensional bit that's going to be very negative, corresponding to the...
Riemann squared is some positive things.
Yeah. And as long as you don't have null curvature or something like that, Riemann squared can't work that way.
So the Ricci scalar I was talking about.
But he's saying there are other quantities.
Like
I'm saying things like Riemann squared should be getting bigger.
That sounds like that's like. Yeah.
But the original bubble of nothing was just a Schwarz circle. It was not a sphere. As it gets small, the curvature doesn't get big. A length scale gets small, and that can bring in new degrees of freedom and the UV confusion gravity and the string theory. In that case, we have some idea of what that entails. But it's not.